Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
Hey guys, welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. This isn't Gareth, this is Gina. If you listened in last week, you'd know that I'm now hosting. Obviously, Gareth will be dipping in and out, but he's handed over the reins to me, which is exciting. So welcome. Today, we've got some amazing guests. We've got Pablo, who it's his first time. How are you feeling, Pablo?
Hello, I'm very excited.
You sound it.
You sound it, yeah.
Is this your first ever podcast?
This is indeed my first ever podcast, yeah.
Matt is kindly doing my job for me.
Sorry.
That's all right. You're forgiven. Yeah, Pablo, what do you do at Zach? Give a little intro for the listeners.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's Pablo. I arrived some 3 weeks ago or something. And I'm a junior creative, which means I do a bunch of stuff, but mostly edit videos, design things, generally the smaller things. But, you know, we're on our way up.
You get small but impactful, it's fine.
Mighty oaks from small acorns.
There you go. And as you've already heard, we've got Matt, who's back. How are you feeling, Matt?
I'm good. Glad to be back.
Yeah.
On podcast 2.0.
Yeah.
With our very own Maya Jammer.
Oh, thank you. I've had that before. I'm going to take it. I like that. Thanks a lot.
He was talking about me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Definitely mistook that. No, thanks for coming back, Matt. I always like having Matt on the podcast because he has lots of good, smart things to say.
What, as opposed to when I'm not on the podcast?
No, as opposed to other people on the... I'm digging everyone else out
right,
for you.
I'm done.
And obviously we've got James. Welcome, James.
Welcome. Thank you.
I'm welcome because it's my podcast now.
Okay,
so,
thank you. It's good to be here.
No serial monologue of abuse.
No, I kind of miss it. I'm used to starting on the back foot.
No, yeah. I'm still going to squeeze in that we've got James, the editor-in-chief / little chief / little chef. How's this week been for stories?
Well, you should know, because if we're going to peel back the layers on the onion that is cool shit,
yeah.
You actually found a lot of the stories this week.
I
because
did.
I'm a very, very important businessman doing very important business.
He's
and didn't
a busy
have the time.
Boy.
So you took issue with some of the stories last week in particular.
Yeah,
so
I
now
did.
Now you can't possibly blame me.
No, I'm going
to
go and
possibly have an axe to grind.
Speaking of axes
to grind,
you said that so nicely.
It's episode 37. right, actually, so I'm doing something slightly unorthodox this week and starting with two stories kind of simultaneously because they're sort of related, I think, and we can compare and contrast a little bit. And also, let's make it into a bit of a game because I think one's quite cool and one's a bit meh. So you guys can guess which one's which. So both involve gods. Firstly, a giant version of Kratos's axe from God of War Ragnarok was planted into the pavement on the South Bank this week. And secondly, Stussy reformed the clouds to declare God a hype beast. Where do you want to start?
I think we start with the axe. And for listeners who can't see the axe because, you know, they haven't got their laptops in front of them, potentially.
Well, hopefully they would have already read the newsletter and it would have gone in if we like it, but yeah.
But if it's not in, then we can tell them it's just massive axe that looks like it's crashed into the ground at South Bank and there's like police tape around it and like news vans because it's made to look like it's, you know, crashed into earth and it's breaking news. So...
It's a big axe.
It's a massive axe. If you guys know what an axe looks like, yeah, sorted.
But it's a specific axe, though. It's a specific axe from the game. To promote something happening in the game. It was part of the Sony's Live from PS5 event, and it was meant to be kind of the headline stealing public installation.
I feel you're a bit sneery towards it, and this is your meh one.
Yeah, you were making a face there as well when you were talking about
I'm constantly quite sneery about everything. So
you are.
But you may have detected something there, Inspector. I don't know. I just thought it's just a big fucking axe, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's like those ideas work, but they've been done before loads.
Yeah,
loads and loads and loads and loads. Like every time I go and search for, you know, some stuff around, like we do a lot of work in football, right? I always see. I think it was Adidas's giant footballs all over Germany, crashed on a car in the side of a building, all of that stuff, right? There's been loads of film launches where the sort of the ambient, you know, the thing that everyone gathers around is a big fuck off prop from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, it works. It's not the most imaginative or new or creative idea, but sometimes, you know, the things that work.
This is why I'm not entirely kind of against it, because I don't think it's terribly groundbreaking, if you pardon the pun.
You have to put that one in there.
I didn't. That wasn't planned. But it at least, well, in our work WhatsApp group, someone posted it and it's got a lot of attention. So in that sense, it has been effective at least.
People like big things. People like giant yeah. versions of things that shouldn't be giant.
Like, yeah, like for example, you bought a story about a giant strawberry to the Cool Shit podcast once.
That's the old days. We don't need to talk about that.
For me, right, what's the objective of that? It's not the people that see it in real life, it's the press shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Which
is cool.
It was only there for like a day or so, actually. So they just put it there, took some photos, got rid of it, basically.
It's just to get the press shot. The one shot that is going to be the thing that gets everyone talking about and featured is a big fuck off axe.
Yeah.
Delivered into the South Bank.
Pablo?
Fine, does its job.
What's your thoughts on this giant axe? Do you play these types of games?
You do. I played a little bit of the first one that came
okay,
out.
Okay, interesting.
I know there's a second one. It was well received.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's a lot of people very excited about the little thing.
Big thing,
yeah. I mean, it's the cloudy with a chance of meatballs effect, isn't it? It's like, big shit, wow, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it summed it up. Done.
It feels like it's getting some cursory recognition from our podcast team, and that's about it.
So it didn't have much of an effect on you then, especially if you've played the game before as well.
I mean, it looks cool. I can see how someone who's like really into the games might, you know, go out there, see it, and be like, this is sick, take a photo. But what, they're already aware of the game. And if someone doesn't know the game and they come across it, they'll be like, oh, it's a video game related thing. But like, will they really, it's not really selling much. It's just like, wow.
What else did they do? Did they do anything else? Anyone seen anything else?
No.
That
was the main thing. It was like the fake news.
It's a big axe. And then I think like, they spoke about it like a load on Twitter and stuff, saying don't try to take it because Kratos will be very cross with you.
Don't try to take it because we'll get sued by the health and safety.
Exactly. So they tried to kind of dress it up in a fun, slightly whimsical tone of voice, but it was actually more just a health and safety disclaimer. Yeah.
Please don't break it.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And what was the other God related thing then, James? If we're moving on,
we can do this one quickly. Because there's not much to say about this one. I just really like it, because I can give that away now. So Stussy, have you all seen the video? I posted it in the WhatsApp group as well. And Stussy have basically changed the shape of a cloud, a cumulus cloud, I believe, into the shape of their kind of their crown logo, which in itself doesn't sound kind of incredible, but the video itself is just so well done and so well edited that, well, we even got Jaron's seal of approval on it, that he said that that's really impressively done with like the zoom and everything, it's utterly seamless. So I just thought that was a neater idea.
I knew you'd like it because you wear Stussy as well, so you're part of this weird little cult that like this type of stuff.
And I'm a born again Christian, so yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that.
I'm down with it. I think it's great. Again, it's not the newest idea. Do you remember like a few years ago there was a viral that went round of like some big fucking, it was like who's the guy with the scepter and the hooded cloak who comes to get you when it's your time?
The Grim Reaper.
But he was hanging onto like the Golden Gate Bridge at San Francisco, and it was like it was shot from a helicopter, and everyone was like, whoa, it looks really real.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously it isn't. The way it's executed in that slightly shaky cam.
Yeah, it's like authentic looking,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. It's the shaky cam. It's dead subtle.
Yeah.
Like versus, hey, we've put a big axe in the South Bank. It's just like someone's driven along and seen this, and we're just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
I like that.
But James, why did you want to compare them though? Like why you wanted to bring them together?
Gods.
Okay,
gods.
Fair enough.
God of war and god of everything else.
Okay, fair enough.
You've got to feel sorry for all of the various gods when all of their roles were suddenly consolidated into one almighty being. But I was looking up some of the weird gods the other day, and there's one, I saw like there's a god of door handles, which doesn't sound like a full-time job, does it? So,
how many door handles are in the world? Are there more doors than wheels in the world? That was a question.
Oh yeah, that was the topic.
Did we ever find out? I don't think we got the answer.
I think it was doors.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's wheels.
We can leave that for another day. That's fine. We don't need to bring it back up.
Yeah, check out our new podcast series, Doors
versus Wheels. Yeah.
Here's my strategy question. Right, are we affected by the equity that Stussy has as a brand in our judgment of that versus Kratos's axe?
Yeah, probably, yeah, because it's brand dependent,
it's a cool
isn't
brand.
It?
It's already cool.
Why.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cool it brand. Cool.
So you're going to jump on
whereas
whatever
the other
they're
one
doing
starts
anyway.
Nerd, yeah.
A nerd.
So we're not looking at it objectively.
No.
Which I don't mind that.
You can't really look at anything objectively, can you? We're humans. We have past experiences and emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
And
as a host, Gareth told me to look at things objectively, so I'm trying. But I don't think I'm doing very well.
I think you're doing a fine job, Gina.
Oh, thanks, James. That means so much to me. Matt, have you got, what are you bringing to the table?
What am I bringing to the table?
We're sticking to the fashion world, potentially.
What am I bringing to the table? Something which, from our little conversation, you might have an opinion on. Nike, Tiffany, collab. What I really love about this week is that sneakerheads of high and low esteem went in for it. They absolutely slaughtered it. Because the shoe looks a bit shit.
It does.
I haven't actually seen the shoe.
Do you want to give a little description for us?
It's an Air Force One that's like grey with a O'Donnell, that's the colour, okay. I think. Stripe or swoosh, whatever. Sorry, mixing my brands there. And it's kind of like $400 for a Air Force One. So what? And it's just got I don't even think it's got any Tiffany.
I was going to say, it's not got any like.
It's just the colour.
Shit
but Tiffany, that colour is like, it's Tiffany straight away, don't you?
Right. And everyone went in on it and just went, yeah, whatever. Nike shouldn't even do that. Because Nike's a, you know, athletic brand that's got a heritage of streetwear, blah, 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 right? And I think probably only Nike could do 1 week the Cortez thing that we talked about probably a couple of weeks ago. Did we talk about it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But 1 week, you know, they're sort of partnering up with the absolute hottest UK kind of up-and-coming streetwear brand. And then at the other end of the spectrum, they're doing a $400 sneaker with, like, Tiffany's, right? And, you know, Tiffany's, yeah, so what? Then, after they get kind of slaughtered on the shoe, it's then that only like 2 days later they reveal actually the better parts of that collab, of which there are several, right? So they brought out, because someone even, like on my Twitter feed, someone was like, they haven't even done the lace tab. You know, the thing that sits on your bottom legs?
Yeah.
They haven't even done that. What a missed opportunity. Yes, they have. Came out 2 days later. They've also done a shoehorn, like in silver. These are all like proper Tiffany's silver kind of nice things. They've done a toothbrush, which they add for the toothbrush, solid, you know, a silver toothbrush that just said, don't forget the tongue, because they know that sneakerheads clean their shoes with toothbrushes.
Very clever, that, isn't it?
It's fucking cool.
It is quite cool.
That is really fucking, and that is like prime Nike advertising stuff.
It's smart.
And everyone's going, you know, why Nike, Tiffany? Nike and Tiffany have had a relationship since 2005, apparently, because they sponsor a couple of women's marathons, San Francisco one, where the winners would get a Nike Tiffany's necklace, pendant, whatever, right? So they've got a relationship there. I just like the way they kind of held it back a little bit and sort of waited. And I do think this was tactical. They waited for a few people to go in on the product and just kind of go, it's a bit unimaginative. And then 2 days later.
Yeah.
So you think they actually intentionally baited people then?
Why else?
Yeah, because to be honest, because I feel rather foolish because I hadn't seen all the other stuff. I'd just seen the trainer and I was getting ready to go, it's a bit shit and it's just a rubber trainer for £400.
Yesterday, LeBron walks down the tunnel in a Nike Tiffany's varsity jacket. That is banging. And they've sort of launched. Are they launching an apparel collection with LeBron? They've got a history of doing that. They did a Liverpool thing with LeBron a couple of weeks ago. I think that they kind of get the cadence of how to release a campaign and get hype around it. We've been doing a couple of jobs recently around this idea of meta communities, that even detractors are part of your brand's meta community because it creates hype, conversation, binary opinions on Twitter, all the rest of it. And I think they understand that. And I think they go, we might get a bit of stick for this.
Yeah.
If that is indeed what they've done, then that is kind of genius because they've gone first for kind of value blind notoriety, I suppose, just get people talking. And then as people are talking, then backing up with stuff that people actually like.
I was going to say the timing's also banging for this because Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Tiffany's. Yeah.
That's like a classic Valentine's gift. James, I hope
I was going to say, are you hinting?
I am hinting. That's just for you. And then also, yeah, I just think it's really good timing.
If anyone's going to do it with intent in the way that we've sort of laid it out, it's going to be Nike. They've got some of the best like marketing teams in the world working for them, right? So if anyone's going to do it, it's them. But that coffee line is killer for someone who likes a coffee line. Don't forget the tongue.
Blue shoeboxes aside, Pablo, what have you got for us?
I am here to finish up the AI trifecta.
Okay, I had a feeling it would be AI related, and also your first story on the podcast, so a lot of pressure for this to be good.
Well, alright, leave him
just
alone.
Just saying.
He's already nervous.
Yeah, no stress. So, I'm sure you guys have touched on DALL-E.
Many times.
Midjourney, image generation from text. I know you've touched on ChatGPT, mm-hmm. text to text generation, etc. And actually, a couple days ago, Google announced Music LM, which is a text to music generative AI.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
That's a new one.
There's been a few AI-related music tools out for a while, but none of them are text to music. So this uses basically the same technology as image generation does. So it's listened to, I think they've run it through 128,000 hours of music to act like a brain.
Do you want to play us some, Pablo? Let's hear it.
I would love to play you some. So, okay, let's play this one.
What language is that?
That is no language.
I thought so. It sounds like Simlish.
But I thought, I've got the wrong end of the spoon or something here, because I thought you would give it lyrics and it would create the track.
Aha, so not quite. So what you do is you describe what kind of song you want.
It's the same with like DALL-E, where it's like a nun riding a bullfrog in the style of Picasso.
Yeah, the example that Google have given is, so you'd type in something like a calming violin melody backed by a distorted guitar.
Okay.
So it's a description, isn't it? As opposed to an actual...
Exactly. And then you can ask it to have vocals, but it will just generate vocals that kind of sound like English. So it's like one of those videos like, oh, how English sounds to non-English speakers.
Well, yeah, but there was I think there was a famous Italian singer who just made kind of American sounding noises.
And Adriano Celentano.
Was that it? Yeah, there you go.
And the song, because it just made me think about exactly the same thing. And if we're going to do sound on this podcast, you've got to listen to this. And you've got to watch the video, because some of the dancing is epic.
Okay.
But the song is called Prince and Colin Nensen Nanken. I don't know. But it's basically, he created a song that sounded like it was an American language if you didn't know what American language sounded like.
Interesting.
To Italian people, and it got to number one. When I stay in the shoes and I'll hold me the scene, then a whole red may begin to come across dying. He was 50 years
before. He was ahead of the curve.
Did you search that before I said it?
You guys are in sync. This is great. You should be on here more often, Matt.
I know.
So what is the point of Google doing this? That's what I'm confused about. Like, what's the point?
What do you mean, why? What's the point?
What's the point of Google?
What's the point of any of this with like the kind of the text?
Can I just interject on that as well? Like, because seeing as musicians are going to be out of a job, copywriters are going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
And now apparently OnlyFans models are going to be out of a job.
I've seen that. Yeah. You get AI generated women.
And lawyers.
And lawyers. Yeah. And bouncers outside strip clubs.
And what?
That was an old episode referencing.
Of course, yeah, the robo bouncer.
That wasn't a strong one.
Yeah, no, but check out two episodes ago for that non-story.
Don't bother. Yeah.
But yeah, OnlyFans girls are now being generated through AI. And this kind of is back to the old patriarchy idea of men are creating women to get men to part with their money, and women are kind of being pushed to the side.
Yeah.
So not only are we losing musicians, mm-hmm. we're losing doctors, lawyers.
And pimps.
And no pimps.
Oh, no, pimps are still there.
Pimps are still there. That's the point. Yeah. Oh, You've still got your job.
Yeah, but fortunately, or not fortunately, the women that are exploited.
I was going to say, actually, wouldn't it be better to kind of... Isn't that better than Andrew Tate trafficking a load of Romanians?
It depends what faces they're using, though.
But no, because they're not real faces.
But they're going to look like someone, and some creep's going to be like, oh, that looks like this girl that I know.
But, yeah. But that's like a person can look like someone.
No, yeah.
Exactly.
But a person can look like
that's
someone.
That's a story for a whole...
But they're doing that already. They're using other people's profiles, which is really fucked.
You already get that,
James, yeah, you can already get that. I don't know if I'm going to be listening to this music, which... will you be listening to this music, Pablo? Are you going to type different things in and listen?
I think not yet.
Okay.
But the way it's going, it's obviously a 5 to 10 year kind of deal where this will keep getting stronger. At some point, we, for example, as a company, could just, oh, what kind of song do I need? And you get it. And in fact, there's even an extra layer of usability here, because one thing I haven't mentioned is that you can hum a melody and then ask for it to create something out of that melody in whatever style you want, and it will do it. So if you have your project, then you know, oh, I kind of want the song to be like this, and you can
interestingly though, that almost proves a theory that there is no such thing as new music, right? Because that's working off learnings of things that are already out there, which, you know, there are some people, many people, that say that there is no new music, it's just more combinations.
We've done it all.
Yeah, we've done it all. We've hit every melody, we've hit every combination of notes that you can get. It's just a question of timing and production, right? What genre, I guess, you're sort of playing in. This is, we'll have heard some of it somewhere before, right?
You'll have heard some sort of similar sounding thing.
Yeah. Someone has heard some part of that tune. There can't be any of it that is absolutely brand new, I guess, because it's just mixing together things that already
exist. Yeah, it
might
be mixing from such a broad range of things that it seems like something new, even though it isn't.
Is this the death of, like, kind of proper creativity though?
Is it though? Because you could argue, same as Dali and Midjourney, they're using millions of images as a reference to then kind of put together their own creation of it. Isn't that just how creativity works as a whole?
I wonder if you can prompt it to do something that has never been done ever.
But that's the point. Like, there's kind of no new words in a way. There's just different, are there new copy lines? There's just different kind of combinations of words, I suppose. Like, you're not just inventing stuff out of thin air. There's often going to be some kind of reference point for it to then get something new.
I like the philosophical.
I was just about to say that. We haven't had like a philosophical viewpoint in ages, or like take on things. So thanks for that, James, and thanks, Pablo.
There's a load of philosophy in this week's cool shit. There's Nietzsche gets a shout out, Schopenhauer, Camus, Hegel.
Look
at
you go. Where can we find that?
Zachagency.com/cool-sht. We still need to change that.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks, Pablo. I hope you enjoyed your first time on the podcast.
I really did, yeah.
We'll welcome you back with loving arms soon.
Thank you.
And thanks, Matt. Hope to see you back soon with all your great opinions.
No bother.
Thanks, James.
Always a pleasure.
Bye.